You two are going to have a knife fight in the room of mine, a naked knife fight, because it's too hot
like,
for work.
Like in
what
like
is it with the nudity tonight?
You have to be naked in the room of mine.
Tits and dick.
It's a sunny day. We don't get these very often in the UK. So when we do, we strip off, we cover ourselves in grease, and we wrestle. Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today are Tracy Erickson.
Hi.
Alex Rennie.
Hello.
And Ben Maxwell.
Good day to you.
We're recording from my flat. Ben Maxwell is here as well, recording in the sun. How's that, Ben?
It's absolutely delightful. Although tea tastes different when you're outside. Even just crossing the threshold of the door makes tea taste different. I don't understand why.
It's because I spat in it.
Oh. Better or worse?
No, it's not as good.
It, so.
Yeah, definitely not as good.
Yeah, it's all the spider eggs. They're just drifting down from the passion flower above you. And
oh, yeah. Well, that's okay, though. I can put up with the spider nest in my belly for the sake of this beautiful, beautiful sun.
Yeah.
What?
Ben has been banished to outside because if he records in the room with me, there's a funny echoey effect.
Copy everything he says.
Why didn't you go outside?
Because I wouldn't be able to see the screen. I need to be able to see the screen. I need to be in control of the situation. So, Alex, Ben is the odd one out because Ben is the only one without an iPad because you went out and bought yourself an iPad yesterday, didn't you, Alex?
Yes, I went out and bought myself an iPad.
How is it?
It's good, although I went to the Apple shop in Manchester and I said, all right, what iPads have you got? And they said, oh, I've got the 64 gig one. And I said, I want the 64 gig one with 3G. And he said, no one has it. So I bought the 64 gig one. Then walked around the corner to Currys, which is 2 minutes away, and they had it. So I bought that one as well. So I had two iPads for about 5 minutes. And then I took the Apple one back angrily.
Did you say they do have 3G ones?
I just
you liar.
Yeah, I just went, I've got a 3G one. Right now, around the corner.
It's pretty crap that Apple couldn't stock check Currys, you know.
Yeah, and it's pretty crap that they couldn't, have stock and Currys don't. If I was Apple, I'd be like, is that delivery? No, bring it in here. We need that.
Yeah,
it was pretty shit. And they've got no Apple cases, like, they just sold that everywhere.
Oh, don't worry about that. Those Apple cases actually aren't very good.
Ah, and, no, I dispute that. I've got one. I got one from the Apple Store the other day. They did have it in stock. I got a 64 gig iPad, but not with 3G either. I got a case, and actually, I think the case is really good. It's kind of flimsy feeling, but I'm going to write a review of it for the site. I put my iPad in, and now it's just permanently in. It's actually difficult to get out. I tried to get it out yesterday to put it on this little dock thing. Spent about 3 minutes doing it and thought, oh, fuck it, this is just too hard. You know, tucked it back in. And it's actually quite like having it in this little book situation.
So, so you're disputing that my claim that it's not very good, but you didn't say anything good about it.
Okay, I'll say what's good about it.
I highlighted the two reasons why I think it's actually one of the least well-designed products that Apple's released probably in the last like 5 years. Because
case wall.
It's in there, you can't get it out.
Well, okay. No, you can if I tried hard enough, I'd be able to get it out.
Yeah, but you don't want to. Because here's an example. I have the dock, so that way I can just put the iPad vertically up while it syncs, right? I can't do that with the case. So if I'm gonna put it in, if I'm gonna use the case, I'd have to take it in and out constantly.
Yes, that is a design flaw. You can't use the dock at the same time as the case. I accept that readily. In my case, literally, in both senses of the word, I've never used the dock before, so I don't know what I'm missing. I put it in the case before I got the dock out of the box. I noticed I couldn't put it on the dock, and I thought, oh well, I can't be arsed taking it out. It's difficult to get out of the case. Yeah, maybe that's the design flaw, and you can't put it on the dock. Yeah, design flaw too. Both except.
More importantly, will it survive a fall in the case?
It'll give it some limited protection. Let me describe the thing to you. It's got, I can't remember what it's made of, some kind of weird polymer plastic.
Polymer.
Yeah. It's and it feels like a spy wetsuit, and it's really snug on the device. But that means it's not too kind of big and imposing. It's obviously got little holes so you can get all your chargers and headphone slots in and everything. But it doubles up as a stand, so you can just flip the back around and slot it into this little holder. And it works as a stand. Actually, quite a flimsy stand that it rocks on. Yeah. So I don't even think it works as... So there are numerous design flaws with it. But I still...
What do you like about it?
Because I really like it. Because it gives the thing protection.
So it sounds like you like the concept of a case. You want a iPad case. But I'm still waiting to hear why you think this is a well-designed product.
Well, I haven't tried another case, so I've got nothing to compare it to. But I like it.
I don't like it.
I'm not going to get this case.
I would recommend it. I would definitely recommend it.
That's like being like, I recommend chocolate chip ice cream. I've never had any other ice creams before, but this one's the best.
Yeah, you could do that. Of course you can.
People say
Would you buy a Fiat Punto? And I say, yeah, I've got a Fiat Punto, it's all right, I'd buy one. And then they could say, but what about a Seat Leon? And I say, oh well, sorry, I don't know. I haven't driven one. Well, don't tell me about the Puntos then. Of course you could say I recommend the thing that I've tried. I don't have to have tried everything to be able to say I recommend this, but I do accept there are design flaws. So what you've got, if you're listening and you're deciding whether or not to buy a case, are two opposing views, and on the basis of those, you can make a decision.
I'm deciding whether to buy a case, and now I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good.
I've decided not to buy an iPad because it clearly turns you into madmen. Listen to yourselves.
Case fanboys.
It's sweet.
We're ignoring you, Ben. You're just not one of us.
I'm not in the gang anymore. I know. This is why I'm outside. I'm not allowed indoors anymore.
I think we should only let people into the group who have 64 gig iPads as well. Guess what I'm downloading?
What?
Angry Birds HD.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's HD. You don't say. It's not H. It's H.
HD.
It's HD.
No, it's not. It's HD.
HD.
Yeah.
What? You're nuts, Al.
Just need to find the Earl, though, to download it on.
So Earl the news. HD.
Yeah. Yes, the news indeed.
News!
What have we got?
The news. I got an iPad. News over. Next news.
News number two. On Monday, this is a pretty big news bomb. On Monday, Steve Jobs is going to take to the stage at WWDC, and he is going to unveil the iPhone 4G, almost certainly. I don't think there can be any serious doubt. And we already kind of know what it's going to be like, but I'm still kind of excited. Tracy, you're going to be there?
I will be there, yes.
Excellent. So that'll be exciting. Do you think you'll get hands-on time? That's usually how it works, isn't it?
I don't know, actually. Last year, when they unveiled iPhone 3GS, they didn't do hands-on. But this is a much bigger upgrade. So I'm hoping that they do what they did when they announced iPad back in January, and they had a separate room set up for media to go in and tables with iPads. And they actually had it was really nice, because oftentimes you go to a press event and, like, I remember when Nintendo first announced Wii and they had playable units. I can't remember what show it was, but all of the Wii remotes were tethered to televisions. So it just kind of felt really restrictive. And Apple didn't do that at all with their iPads. They basically just put a bunch on a table. Now, they did have, like, armed security guards at the door, which was a little bit kind of...
And they knew you couldn't get them out of the cases either, so there'd be no point in trying to steal them.
Aha, here, it's this goes back to my point. They didn't even have them in the cases, so even they don't like using them. Touché.
You should throw them from. Jobs should throw 4Gs from the into the crowd from the stage.
Should. That'd be kill great. Many killed.
he could do it with iPads, but that'd be a bit lethal.
Yeah.
And seeing as they're about as delicate as. I don't know, something delicate.
Well, I was, you know, speaking of 4G specifically, I was talking with Levi Buchanan over at IGN, and he thinks that because kind of the wind was taken out of the sails of like the big unveiling of the phone, because we all know that we basically know the basics of the device, right? That the big shock is going to be that the phone goes on sale on Monday.
Right.
Because they've done that before. They do that all the time with iPods. They'll be like, oh, we're doing a 32 gigabyte iPod, and it's available now.
It's there. There's one next to you.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I wish. That's sweet.
Taped under your seat. Reach down.
I can't get out. I can't get a 4G now because I've got an iPad.
Uh-oh, looks like I'm in the best position all of a sudden.
I bet the people of Sub-Saharan Africa and Southeast Asia were listening to that and their hearts just bled. Oh, poor Alex.
Well, I could, but, you know, it'd be a lot of money.
Yeah. So that's happening, and we're going to be at WWDC, Tracy and John Jordan. I guess probably Chris, because there's going to be a WWDC.
No Chris.
No, yeah, just John and I.
Okay, and so you guys are holding the WWDC party then, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So tell us about that then. Do you know anything about it, Tracy?
No, not anything.
Okay.
No,
there's going to be one. I don't know the venue.
I know limited details. It is sponsored by Scoreloop and Free App a Day. It's going to be in the same venue as GDC in Harlech. No one's invited unless you get an email, so don't bother turning up. Because we've got big bouncers on the door, like we did last time. They were quite scary.
Those bouncers were awesome. They were so cool.
Same guys, I think.
Oh, I like them. They were cool to talk to.
But they could kill someone, couldn't they, with just one look, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, they were tough looking.
Okay, so this sounds really inviting then. You know, so if you possibly want to be killed with a look, then why not go to the WWDC party?
You can if you're a developer or something, but not just, you know, listeners. You're not invited. Maybe we should have a competition where one is invited, but it's two.
Oh, geez, no. The chance that a listener is going to be in San Francisco and actually be available on that day of the party, if both of those things line up, then they can come.
Yeah. However,
I mean, consider that we have listeners like all over the planet. Like we have one, you know, in like South Africa.
Do we
have one people in Portland. Yeah, I mean, we have people all over the place. So
winner of the last competition was in the Netherlands.
I better know who the person in Portland is. It's going to be
Tracy's parents. They listen proudly to the podcast.
Yeah. Look, anyway, WWDC party, no details, potential death is a possibility, but, you know, check it out on the site. There are more details available, and John Jordan and Tracy will be there, both excellent hosts and social and men about town. So what else is happening? Jobs was up to something the other day. He was on the telly. It was the New York Times conference.
Wall Street Journal D8.
Wall Street Journal D8, of course. And he was there, and he just said a couple of things about Gizmodo and the iPhone leak, which was interesting. He said, it's got theft, it's got buying stolen property, it's extortion. I'm sure there's sex in there somewhere. He does not like sex. I feel sorry for his wife. An amazing story, he says. Someone should make a movie out of this.
What a shit movie.
Yeah, but obviously to him it seems more interesting than it probably does to other people. He was advised, he says, by people at Apple to let it slide, but he's not going to let it slide. He's going to pursue Gizmodo to the hilt. So that's interesting.
He's shit on them.
Yeah, he's going to try. And he's talking about Flash. He talked about Flash and basically said, He flash talked trash.
Ah, see what he did then.
Switch around. So if you caught that, that's, you know, if you wanted to know how Jobs feels about Gizmodo and Flash, if you were in any doubt, that's it. He hates them both.
They're both shit, and he hates them. Yeah. And he doesn't like sex.
Yeah. No. The iPad launch, the international launch, was last Friday, and since then 2 million have been sold. Well, at least 2 million had been sold as of, I think, Monday or Tuesday. So now probably more. Well, at least one more.
I bought one.
Yeah, 2 million and two, although one of them was a return.
Oh, yeah. But they'd probably still count that.
Yeah. So that's all the tech stuff. We've got some games coming out. Lots of games coming out. They are Highborn, that came out. Tracy, you played it?
Yes, I played Highborn. It's a decent strategy game. It's not going to knock your socks off if you're looking for something new, but if you're a strategy fan and you really like tactical turn-based stuff, this one's kind of funny. It's cute and quirky. Yeah, 7
What's
out of 10,
called?
Bronze
What's
Award.
Called?
Highborn.
Highborn. Is it for the iPad only or is it for anything?
iPhone, iPod Touch.
Okay, so there's that Princess Fury. Came out yesterday. I've had a build of that for a while, but I didn't get around to playing it. It was naughty of me. But that looks reasonably exciting. A kind of cross between an RTS and a beat-em-up. I don't know. Has anyone been playing that? Have you been playing that, Tracy?
No, but it looks interesting, though. I was taking a look at screenshots earlier, and it looked kind of... Yeah, I won't play it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think I will. There's a video and a story on the site, so if you're interested, go and check that out. Call of Duty World at War Zombies 2 came out. Tracy, you know you wrote the story on this, so why don't you tell us about that?
So basically, it's the same game, just a different map. So it's a little bit of a misnomer because it's not really a sequel. It's just a standalone expansion pack, and it has... the map's name is called Shinonuma, I think, is the title of it. And it's set in a swamp, and you get a new weapon, and you get a couple of new pieces of equipment. Like, you can use a zip line to make fast escapes across the map. And you can buy this, you can buy the app, the Call of Duty World at War Zombies 2 app, by itself, or if you have Call of Duty's World at War Zombies, the original, you can download it from within that game. And that'll set you back $4.99 or yeah, exactly. So not exactly cheap entertainment for the frugal iPhone game.
Let's add it up then. So we've got three maps. It was $5.99, and then Farouk came out. I guess that was the same, was it? £3?
Exactly.
£9, and then you got another one that's £12 now. You're in the whole £12 for three maps.
That's nearly a third of the price of an actual game.
You could buy the game secondhand on Amazon, the World at War, for £10, the whole game. So, obviously you're playing it on a different platform, but that is extraordinary that you're not getting Call of Duty World of War. You're just getting the bonus bonus maps that were tacked on to the end, one map at a time. And with only three maps, it's already added up to more than the second-hand, admittedly, value of the full game on consoles.
Yeah. I've always thought this about DLC, that there's a massive problem with it, because it is like a really stealthy way to make you pay ridiculous amounts of money for a game. With Little Big Planet on PS3, I bought the first game. Admittedly, I didn't actually pay for it because I got it with my PS3. But if we factored in, we say that I'd bought it for £40, and we factor in all of the packs that I bought, all the level packs and all of the extra level sticker kits and everything, because I was obsessed with it for the first few months. I've now managed to stop myself buying all of the kits. But I'm easily over £100 on that game.
What?
Over a few months.
Well,
these packs of £5 each, and it soon adds up.
I think the problem with Call of Duty World at War Zombies is that it's hard to justify charging $5 for a map when, you know, that's half the price of the entire game, which itself was only a single map. And I think that Activision is learned when they released the first downloadable map for the game, and it didn't really do very well. So I think by releasing a quote-unquote sequel, by doing Zombies 2, they're hoping that this new map will actually sell because the app will sell. My concern, though, is that it's too soon. Like, they just released Call of Duty World at War Zombies, what, a few months ago, and it was kind of, you know, it kind of had burst onto the scene. Everybody bought it. It was the, you know, sort of the thing for the moment, right? It had its 15 minutes. And now they're trying to do that again, right? Because they want to sell a lot of copies. But it's not really making that much of a splash. Like, we covered the story, and it doesn't really seem to be picking up anywhere. I don't think people kind of care. It's really interesting because you would think, like, oh, people would be going nuts for this because it was such a huge hit. But I don't think it's picking up. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I haven't seen the sales, but I certainly am not interested. But then I wasn't interested in the first place. £6 for an iPhone game that's one map. No way. But its success by revenue was huge. A lot of people bought it. Yeah. So that's what Activision. That's what's luring Activision on. That's the carrot. It's because they're thinking, well, look what happened when we released something like a single map at £6. We defied expectations and sold a lot. So we're just going to keep trying to charge a lot and see what happens. They must think we're ferooked. That means mad. Spartacus Blood and Sand game.
Oh, that's a romantic name.
It's come out and it's free. You may be too late already for this to capitalize upon this, but the Spartacus iPhone Blood and Sand game for iPhone has come out and it's free to the first 10,000 people to download it on iPhone or iPod Touch. So there you go. You could get a free game about chopping someone's head off and stabbing them and maybe having sex with them and whatnot.
Is this a like beat 'em up, like a fighting game?
Yeah, it's 3D.
Yes. Okay, this is a re-release actually. They released it, oh gosh, I don't know, earlier this year, a couple months ago, and it just totally tanked. No one paid it any attention because it's a TV show.
Yeah.
A Showtime or something like that.
I bet they'll sell at least 10,000 this time around.
Maybe. I was tempted, but then I thought, no, because I won't enjoy it. Yesterday I was going to download it, and I thought, I don't want to actually deprive someone who might enjoy it of the download, because I will definitely not play it. It does, I mean, the graphics look nice. Has anybody here seen Spartacus Blood and Sand on the television?
No.
It's ludicrous.
Don't watch the teller.
Maybe that's the problem, is no one has watched the TV show either.
Yeah, it's only just out. I think it will become relatively successful, but it seems to just be coming to people's attention now. I've seen one episode. It's like a cross between 300 and...
I like 300.
Gladiator. Yeah, 300 was...
I like Gladiator.
I like Gladiator better.
Okay, well, I need to add an extra qualifier. It's like a shit cross between Gladiator and 300. It's got 300. It doesn't have 300's kind of comic book
Spartans
style. Yeah, well, it does have Spartans. No, he's Spartacus was a Thracian.
Jesus, this is going too deep.
Anyway, the point is, it's television
shit
program which contains lots of nudity. Lots of sex, lots of just general misbehavior, and lots of blood. It's basically blood and... Charlie Brooker said this, but he was right. It shouldn't be called Blood and Sand. It should be called Blood and Tits, because that's that's basically what it is. But it's but the problem with it, I don't know if anyone saw the HBO program Rome, which was... That had a lot of nudity and violence in it as well, but it also had substance, whereas Spartacus seems to me, it's like a Guy Ritchie film. You know the way there's all those kind of slow down bits and, you know, the camera slows down to linger on certain shots. This slows down to linger on blood coming out and people's, you know, lower mandibles being ripped from their heads and stuff like that. It's just...
Does it slow down on the tits?
Yeah, anything you can, any
every
combination you can imagine of blood and breasts happens. Any sort of sexual activity combined with murder that you can conceive of.
Charlie Brooker also said that there was a lot of penis action in there as well. I think we're misrepresenting it here. It's not just tits.
It's
frontal male nudity.
There's nudity of all kinds. It is I think it's an experience. It's worth watching, but ultimately I hate it. And it's got an iPhone game and it's free. So that probably won't...
The iPhone game's free.
Get it.
It's free.
Go.
Are you not listening? It's free to 10,000 iPhone downloaders.
Look, if I'm not listening, are the listeners listening? That's what we have to ask ourselves.
The answer is no.
Well, just download it, Alex, after hear all of this again.
Okay, well, let's...
I just downloaded Pool Pro Online 3 for iPad.
Okay, we can have a game of that then later on.
I will thrash you.
No, you won't. Rennie, get download, if you like pool, and I know you do,
yeah,
then download Virtual Pool HD.
Okay, yeah, that's also there as well.
Virtual Pool HD is brilliant.
You will have heard all about this when you listened to last week's podcast, Alex.
Oh, yeah, when I listened to it. When I was on holiday. I don't think so, Ben.
Oh, you could have. They're not scheduled. Do it when you get back.
Pride and Prejudice Zombies has come out. Pride and Prejudice Zombies. It's actually a book. Not a satire. Satire is too strong. But a book loosely based on Pride and Prejudice, but with zombies involved. Let me read the opening passage to you. Pride and Prejudice. Just because this gives you a flavour of it, I think. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Oh, something like, it is a truth universally acknowledged that zombies like eating brains. So, you know, that sums it up. It's got a bit of Austin and then a little bit of stuff about zombies eating brains. And apparently it's a really good-selling book. It's a high-selling book. I don't even know what adjective to put there. And now there's an iPhone game. I think it's from Chillingo, but let's check. And it's a side-scrolling... No, Freeverse. Sorry.
Freeverse.
Chillingo. Yeah.
Is the truth universally acknowledged that zombies enhance everything? So I really... It's a book that I saw when it came out. I really wanted to read it, but it's quite far down on my backlog at the moment. But I don't know, but the game is just a beat-em-up, though, isn't it?
Just
I don't know if I want to... A scrolling beat-em-up, Streets of Rage style. I don't know if I want to risk investing in it, if it's just going to be...
I would say that that's probably a good initial impression of it. I haven't played it personally, but I was talking with John Jordan earlier this evening, and he said he has played it, and he said he didn't think it was very interesting. Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't look tremendously interesting. Apart from the idea, which isn't the problem with the idea is it's not the game's idea. The idea already exists, and you can enjoy it in a better form, I guess, by reading the book.
Are you saying books are better than games, Rob?
No, I'm not. Am I? No, I'm not. No, they're just different. But in this case,
you nearly said it.
But in this case, well, you know, I was thinking of Jordan's autobiography. Versus Shadow of the Colossus, I think you will know. Can't really make that claim.
Jordan's was all right. It's got pictures in it.
Yeah, I do love a book with pictures.
In the middle, glossy ones.
Yeah.
Most autobiographies do, though. But they're not really autobiographies. They're biographies by a ghostwriter credited to the, moron that has their name on the cover.
I would prefer to read one that Jordan had actually written. That would be fun.
You wouldn't understand any. She can't spell, or think, or speak, or write, so it wouldn't be very good.
If Jordan could speak, you wouldn't be able to understand her. To paraphrase Wittgenstein. Well, that concludes the news. Anyway, let's move on to the rumor mine. Which
Rob?
What?
Rob,
what?
Before,
what?
Sorry. I'm sorry, but I think we should mention Leap Sheep.
Rumor. Rumor.
You two are going to have a knife fight in the room of mine. A naked knife fight. It's too hot
like in the,
what
like
is a... it with the nudity tonight?
You have to be naked in the room of mine.
Tits and dick.
It's a sunny day. We don't get these very often in the UK. So when we do, we strip off, we cover ourselves in grease, and we wrestle. You know,
so basically, you just go take a swim in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, that's good. Topical. Yeah, nice. Nice.
I'll tell you what's topical. A girl about 30 seconds ago passed my window, and she had a short skirt on and a vest top, and I don't think she had a bra on.
That sounds really topical. Oh, that's topical.
Why do you think I'm getting so bloody excited about nudity.
Alex, you clearly prefer toplessical subjects than topical.
Yeah, I did.
See what I did there? See what I did?
It was shit, frankly.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So we've got a stuffed rumor mine this week. So many rumors. Tracy, you've been speaking to the rumor mine most recently. What's he got to say for himself?
So, quick survey. What do you guys think is the best iPad game so far?
In my opinion,
Angry Birds.
I abstain.
So you say Angry Birds. You abstain. Okay, Rob, what do you think?
I'm going to have to abstain to an extent because I'm aware that Mirror's Edge is very well thought of, but I haven't played it.
Mirror's Edge. That's what I wanted somebody to say.
Okay, I thought that's probably what you're going for.
So, Actually, no. I'd like to vote. Broken Sword HD.
No, you just said you were saying.
I haven't played it.
We're there. We've reached the destination of this conversation.
First of all, you have not played Broken Sword HD, and yet you are proffering it up as number one iPad app?
Yep, it's definitely the best.
I have played Broken Sword HD, and with all due respect to Charles Cecil, who I actually rather adore, I do not think that it is better than the iPhone version. I actually think it is inferior.
Interesting.
Because they've done as much as I think that could have possibly been done. The game's been around for a long time, right? But they've blown it up, and it does help you find things on the screen a little bit better. But the graphics are not completely upscale. They're not completely HD. So there are some things that are blurred a little bit, like the characters are kind of fuzzy on the edges. It just doesn't, to me, I would rather play it on iPhone.
Good tip.
Oh, well,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that.
Thanks, Tracy. I abstain
anyway.
Again. I'm downloading Mirror's Edge now. Because
Mirror's Edge, yes, you should. It's fantastic. You know you can play with Rianne because it has multiplayer.
Oh,
Mirror's Edge was originally on iPhone, and I had played it all the way back in December, I think it was, and loved the game. Was saying how it was my top game for the year I was looking for in 2010. And then, remember, it got delayed, and then we said, oh, it's going to be on iPad. Well, there's still an iPhone version coming, and EA is like, oh, yeah, we're going to release it soon. Yeah, no problem. That was back in April. We haven't had Mirror's Edge yet, right? We're not going to have it for even longer. The EA has no plans to release the iPhone version of Mirror's Edge, the rumor miner says, until late autumn.
What? Why?
They're basically trying to fill out their release schedule. They don't want to just release stuff when it's finished. So the game's been, I played the final game, what was going to be the final iPhone version. I mean, it was a 1.1 or 1.0 release back all the way in 2009. And then they just held it because they wanted to make the iPad launch. I have no idea why they would want to hold it now. It would make a great release, you know, a great midsummer release, but they essentially want to hold it back because they're going to be releasing SimCity Deluxe, and they don't want the two titles competing.
Oh, that makes me slightly sad because I was going to play it. I was probably going to play it on iPhone. The problem with the iPad is it's too expensive. Well, so Mirror's Edge canned, basically, until, not canned, but delayed for a long time.
Indefinitely.
Well, that's a shame. That's a real shame.
The next rumor is also from EA, or in regards EA, with they are not going to be at WWDC. That's not the rumor. They are going to be at E3. They usually show all of their iPhone stuff at E3 because they have a huge booth. They usually have, I mean, it's ridiculous. Their EA is so ridiculous with their booths that they usually just kind of like tuck all of the iPhone stuff in a really dark corner, and then, you know, like next to Madden, whatever. And apparently this year they are not showing off any hardcore titles. No Dead Space, no Dragon Age, no Mass Effect, no nothing. And everybody's like, what's going on? Where are all the games? They're basically, the rumor is that they're only showing casual titles. They don't have any shooter. They're not showing Need for Speed. They're not showing anything. So the big question is kind of like, well, is this the new direction that EA is heading? Is it all casual now?
Is Mirror's Edge on iPad a casual game? I guess
no.
It's not. No. Because it's like Cannibal, isn't it?
What's the problem? I like Cannibal.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. It's not a matter of the gameplay mechanics making the game casual. It has more to do than there's more involved than just that. Mirror's Edge is a hardcore franchise.
It's a hardcore franchise.
You're not going to. Yeah.
But the okay, when Fable 3 pub games came out, they were casual games, even though they were related to Fable 3, which is a hardcore game. I would argue that they were casual games.
Yeah, but part of the marketing around that was also, this is a casual game, these are mini games, pub games, anybody who isn't a gamer understands what pub games are. But anybody who isn't a gamer isn't going to stumble upon Mirror's Edge and be like, that sounds like a game I want to play. Sounds like some cosmetic app that some woman would buy to put on her lipstick.
Yeah.
Like I mean, that's... So, it is kind of like Cannibal, and so I agree in the sense that makes it sort of casual, but...
Probably a bit. There's no point arguing about words, really. I mean, because the distinction between casual and hardcore is the distinction that people have made, so... I think it certainly is a hardcore franchise. Justin McElroy in the Joystick Podcast said... that Mirror's Edge on iPad was actually better than the game on 360. It was what the game on 360 could have been, kind of thing. It was closer to the concept. It was more pure, which I thought was an interesting point to make. Yeah. I haven't played it, so I can't comment on.
I'd agree with that. Having played both of them, not the 360 version, but the PS3 version, same game. I did like it on PS3, but it was frustrating at times. Some of the levels were really difficult at specific points, and that really was never a problem in the iPad version. I mean, it was very consistent the entire way through. It had been very thoroughly tested. It's a really great game. Hmm. I mean, I don't think, to go back to the rumor, I don't necessarily think... I personally don't think that EA is washing its hands of titles like that. I think it's just a matter, for some reason, they've decided, I don't understand this decision, but they have made the decision that, we should be showing our mainstream titles at E3 because there'll be lots of gaming press there and they'll want to cover this, when that's the wrong calculation. The gaming press, if they're... They don't want to see iPad games, first of all. Second, if you actually wanted to get them to see an iPhone or an iPad game, wouldn't you want to not show Boggle and Risk? And wouldn't you rather entice them with something like Dead Space? Maybe that's just me wanting to see a title like Dead Space or Need for Speed, but it just seems like, if I was not somebody who covered iPhone, that I would be more inclined to see that than I would be Boggle.
I think so, yeah. I think you're right. Moving on from the rumor mine, I guess now let's talk about what we've been playing.
What we've been playing!
In my case, that's nothing, I'm afraid to say. It's not that I haven't been playing anything, but I haven't been playing anything new. I've been playing Virtual Pool HD still enjoying it.
Is it better than Pool Pro?
I think so, yeah. I think it's the best. I'm actually going to do a feature of the best pool and snooker games on the iPad. Because I think the iPad is a sensible platform for pool games. I think the iPhone is a bit too small, really. Mm-hmm. I always felt that about mobile games as well. Mobile snooker games, they could work well, but it's just not satisfying if they're small, however well done they are. I think Virtual Pool is the best because it's a really long-running franchise on PC, and all they've done is ported it. So all the kind of physics and the controls were already there just for them to move across, and it's just really slick and feels solid, really flowing to play. Pool Pro Online is good, but it's got mental physics, so the ball just doesn't doesn't travel realistically. I think that seems to be a very hard thing for people who make pool games to get right. This is why Archie MacLean is so lauded for his efforts, because he was such a perfectionist in this area. And most people's pool games, when you play them, they're just not... You know, the ball comes off the cushion too fast. It moves for too long at a slow pace. This is what happens in Pool Pro Online. So you think the ball's about to stop moving. Using your knowledge of geometry and experience of playing pool, you look at the ball, you look how fast it's moving, you think, well, it's going to stop in the next second, and it just keeps going like slowly rolling along. That's the problem with the physics in this game. And the other pool games I've played, Snooker HD, I think it's called, have similar problems. The balls come off the cushion too quickly. Whereas with Virtual Pool HD, this isn't the case. The physics really feel perfect. And I'm still loving it. So play that. If you're looking for a pool game, that's the one to get. But that's it really for me. I haven't played anything else, so I'll give the floor to...
Don't give it to me.
Not you. No, because you haven't played anything either, I imagine. No. Ben, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a game called Pinch, which you have a bunch of mazes that you can scroll around on the iPhone, and coloured circles. And you can, there are gates and doorways and coloured force fields, and you can only obviously move through them with the right colour. But there's a spectrum of colours you can create by pinching different circles together. So, you know, your knowledge of the colour wheel works and blending, you know, yellow and red makes orange. But you can create, it goes even further than that, you can create shades of colours by having the dominant colour, so two of one and one of the other. And I think there are about 30 different colours you can create, which sounds overly complicated.
Wow.
But any gates, yeah, it kind of seems a bit too much at first. But any gates that require a colour, it has a handy little guide below of which colours you need. Mm. You only obviously have the coloured circles that are provided to you in the level. There are also gaps that you can only cross with circles that you know, number a certain amount of component circles. So you need three, otherwise you fall into it. The way the levels are constructed is really enjoyably clever, and the solutions are very flowing. Once you get them, once you know how to do it, the level isn't done because there's a clock counting your time. So you can then see how fast you can go. I think the only problem I have with it is it's a little bit clunky having to drag the screen to look at the next part of the maze, and you know, and move around that way. But it still sort of flows. You get into it, and trying to best yourself and get a higher score each time is fantastic. And the kind of freedom of all these different colours that can be mixed is pretty amazing. And if you put a lot of colours together, if you put them all together, or you put certain combinations together, you get a white circle, which will be very large, but can have, you know, certain capacity to go over the larger drops and through gates. I think I'm not sure you can go through any colour as well, any colour gate. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, really recommended to anyone who's into painting, circles, mazes, and time trials.
Excellent. Remind us what that's called.
Pinch. It's got an awful logo, which is the word pinch in various gaudy colours being pinched in the middle. The game itself is quite nice. I've also been playing a game called Leap Sheep, but I don't want to talk about it.
No, tell us about Leap Sheep.
Leap Sheep is a game, a casual game, where you have to make sheep leap over a fence. And there are three rows. They run at it. You can tap them. They jump. If you tap them again, they do a trick, and you earn points for rams. If they hit the fence, they stop moving, and they start to back up. So if you three hit the fence, there's a line of three of them, so you need to get that sheep to jump really early.
The sheep don't die? They don't die or they get their legs cut off or like...
Oh, no, they don't even get their teats out. No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Are they naked? Are they like shaven? Is there any sheep nudity?
Not even a mohican. Nothing. Nothing like that. But you can. You
Why
can
is Alex
going
to play this?
Because you said shaven. And that's all I remember about Ben's entire review of this game.
But yeah, you can, with the rams, if there's a backlog of sheep, once you've got four there, it's game over. You know, as you would in Tetris or something, if the blocks got to the top, that would be it. It's a very simplified version of that. But if you fire a ram, it butts all the sheep over the fence and they carry on. It's very simplistic, quite repetitive. I didn't enjoy it. I only played it because I did a news story on it because of the nature. It was a bit surprising that the studio were doing a casual game when they're famous for games like Left 4 Dead. And I've done an interview with the team. So personally, I didn't enjoy the game, but I think it might appeal to people less discerning than I.
So are the people that are on this casual games team, this unit, did some of them actually work on the other console title?
This is what's interesting about it and why I wanted to do the interview. It's Turtle Rock Garage, which is a subsidiary, is a studio set up because some of the guys had smaller ideas that they wanted to see through. So they set up the studio, much like Lost Winds by Frontier Studios on Wii.
Right.
That was like, you know, one developer had this idea and the whole team rallied behind them and helped them build it. So it's a way to engender internal creativity and to promote it. So I thought that was a really interesting concept. It seems to be coming quite fashionable now.
Oh, I'm very supportive of that concept. The only reason why I ask whether or not the developers on this particular iPhone game had worked on any of the Left 4 Dead is because part of when the sort of hardcore game console developers look at other sectors of gaming like casual games, they look down upon it with disdain. Oh, casual gaming is a particular type of kind of crappy game.
Yeah.
And yet someone that some of the best developers of casual games like PopCap, if you play Peggle or you play Plants vs. Zombies, these are quote-unquote casual games, but they're great games, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sit down and you play Plants vs. Zombies and you don't think, oh, I'm having casual fun. Oh, this is one of the best games you've played in the last month, right? Immersed.
Yeah, no, they're definitely AAA titles.
Yeah, right? And I think when developers that are used to making, you know, sort of the AAA console games, and they come down and say, you know what, this casual game stuff is working really well, let's do it ourselves, or we want to try, or we think we have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
They're approaching it from the perspective of, oh, this is just a casual game. Casual implies that it needs to be simple or oversimplified, or you know, it has to have these kind of almost like you're saying, kind of boring. Like I see a lot of these titles. EA had a title from their group that was supposed to be making these, you know, 59p bite-sized games, and it was awful. It was the same sort of like it seemed like it was a good idea, but it was too basic, and so it was kind of
underdeveloped. It's focused on one very simple core mechanic that doesn't develop and doesn't have anything built around it.
Yeah,
I think casual games. I think studios like PopCap and you know, and games like Geometry Wars, casual games like that actually are seen as credible games. So I don't think it's necessarily about casual games on the whole. I think they are kind of included. It's just that they have to be packaged in a certain way. And yeah, so I think actually I don't think there is any kind of stigma attached to making casual games as long as you make them in a certain way that seems artistic or credible or solid in the way that PopCap does it. So,
well, I would further that a little bit more and say that essentially the argument is that you can make a casual game, but it has to be good.
Exactly. Right?
Because if you say it has to be styled in the way that PopCap does it, well, PopCap is like the best developer at this. So, I mean, you couldn't do a game that had the same style as like Plants vs. Zombies, but suck. And I think that's the problem, is because you have console guys being like, hey, we can do a casual game. You know, PopCap does a great job. Let's do a game that, you know, is like that. And then they do it and it sucks because they're just trying to capture the vibe when it doesn't actually win the backbone of the game. Is hollow.
Yeah, remember Tiger? Is it Tiger Style?
Yeah,
oh,
Tiger
yeah.
Style.
That Randy, chap, Randy Smith, is it?
Yeah,
from EA. But that's different. We all got really excited about that, we all went, oh wow, he's this guy from EA who's an Edge columnist has gone off and he's made a casual game, and we all thought, well, this is going to be the best thing ever. And a lot of people did think it was the best thing ever. I thought it was a bit mediocre.
I enjoyed Spider. I don't think it's the best thing ever. Yeah, I like the atmosphere.
A lot of awards, I think.
Yeah, it did. No,
the web mechanic worked a lot better than I thought it would.
It won something at GDC anyway, because I saw it at GDC on the stand. The IMGA award for something.
Uh-huh. I'm in between you, Ben, and Rob, because I see why Rob wasn't hot on the game, because I disagree with you, Ben, that the controls were great, that the mechanics were great. I'm more on Rob's end, where the controls and some of the mechanics had some issues. I still think it was a good game. I would say it's a good game. I don't think it's a great game, and that puts, I mean, certainly our review is, I think, the lowest score it got. I mean, people were giving it perfect, you know, 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5 stars all over the place.
But I think people got a bit giddy because of who made it and because of how it looked. But this is my point about casual games, is that I think in the right circumstances, they can be seen as, you know, extremely credible. But yeah, if someone just tries to do a copycat or mediocre, there's nothing worse than a mediocre casual game. There's nothing worse than all the shitty Doodle Jump clones. And I mean, that really kind of stinks up the whole show. But casual games made by good people, I think, have a sort of kudos or credos all to themselves. That is distinct from hardcore games, but is nonetheless, I mean, something like Geometry Wars, for example, has something, has a certain cachet, and that's to do with it being a casual game. That it is, you know, it's worth going for, I think, if you're making games, it's worth having. Jeff Minter has it. He makes casual games, and he's kind of seen as a cult icon.
Oh, good point
for doing it.
To go back to, I'm curious on this point though, to about people who essentially, do you buy games based on who made it?
Well, I would do, yeah. I mean, I probably don't. I think I got excited along with everyone else about Spider, and I bought it because of, yeah, I probably did buy it because of who made it, because I bought it before I read a review. For a while, I was thinking of doing the review, and then I thought, no. No, I won't. I've got no time. So, yeah, definitely.
So your interest in reading about the game was spurred on by the fact, oh, this guy made this game, I'm going to read about it. And then you read a preview or you saw some screenshots, and where you just saw it on the App Store and you just bought it?
I heard about it. I heard that it was coming. I think we spoke to Randy Smith, I think Spanner spoke to him. But, you know, he spoke to him because we were excited about it. It was, and this is very peculiar to people like us who are in this industry and know what's going on. So an Edge columnist from EA makes a game, yeah, you are going to want to see it. But then that probably doesn't apply to, you know, my sister, if she had an iPod Touch, she's not going to go, oh, Spider, good, it was made by an Edge columnist, because she's not going to give a shit. So I suppose for most of the market, it doesn't make a difference. So Tracy, what have you been playing? There's one I want you to tell us about, actually, because I didn't get around to it in news, which is Prince of Persia, which went live and then was promptly yanked from the App Store. Problems.
Absolutely.
So why don't you tell us about the problems?
Sure. Well, the problems, the reason why it was pulled from the App Store, as we reported, relates to the menus not showing properly in the game. So when you download and install the game and you boot it up, the menus splash the screen with a bunch of gray boxes, and a lot of the options you can't even make out. So, for example, where the button is to access Game Off Live, there's just a gray box. The only reason why I could figure out that it was that you pressed that area to get Game Off Live is because I was just tapping anywhere on the screen and it brought me to Game Off Live. So you can kind of navigate your way through the main menu. That's fine. But it's actually a bit of a problem when you go and save in the game, because you'll walk up, you save at these water fountains, and you walk up and you tap the action button, and then it's just a gray screen. And I had to try, I spent probably a good 5-10 minutes trying to figure out what to do, like, because I couldn't figure out how to save my game. because it's just the all of the options are grayed out. So that was apparently the reason why they pulled it down. I can verify that when I saw the game back in May, there were none of these issues. So it was an immediate red flag because I had been expecting the game to pop up on the App Store and was monitoring GameLoft's page. And then as soon as it came on, I downloaded it and I could tell something was wrong. I mean, I know developers release buggy games and performance and stuff, but this was really weird. So it's actually very good that GameLoft pulled it from the store. I think they did the right thing, particularly given other developers that have not done the right thing when it comes to stuff like this. So it's frustrating, to say the least, but, it's been delayed, but you certainly don't want to play the game that was released yesterday.
It seems odd that Apple would approve it. It seems odd that they would go through it and it's clearly broken, and they would say, just put it. Don't bother telling GameLoft. Oh, by the way, GameLoft, your game's broken. You might want to try again. They just put it live. It seems an odd thing for an approver to do.
There you are.
There's a bit of, it's interesting. There's been a lot of whenever something like this happens, I actually try to get information from the developer in terms of what happened. Not because I'm interested in being like, oh, haha, you screwed up, like this is ridiculous and you need to be punished, but to actually know what happened, because a lot of times developers will submit, and this is what I've gleaned from these situations, those who do share details that say, if I ask them, hey, what happened with this game? Why is it so buggy? Or why did it get released and then pulled? And if the developer is willing to talk, that means usually it's not their fault. And because I've talked, like when I spoke with GameLoft, they're like, oh my God, we don't know how this happened. They don't necessarily, they think that it could potentially have been an error that happened in the approval process, which I've been told by other people before, that basically that there's some point along in the approval process that code gets added to the game in order to be sold onto the App Store, and that can sometimes change the executable, and then therefore it causes bugs. Other times, when it's usually really clear that there's something wrong with the release, like on the developer end, that's when I don't hear back from developers. Good example is when the Watchmen online MMO app was released. When was that? God, that was a long time ago. Warner Brothers did that. And it was horribly mangled mess of a game. And it wasn't working. I mean, it was horrible. They didn't pull it down from the App Store. They continued to charge for it. And when they were pressed about why the game wasn't working, they didn't issue any comments for 2 weeks. So it's like, well, in that case, you can figure out who's at fault. That said, about the buggy menus on Prince of Persia, there will have to be a number of technical changes that occur to that game for my impression of it as in terms of gameplay to change.
Even beyond the glitches, it's still not a good game.
Without the glitches, I will certainly look at it more favorably, but it is very ambitious to try to cram a PlayStation 2 game onto iPhone because it just doesn't have the same amount of power and it doesn't have the same types of controls. You're dealing with a fairly robust action platformer. And you have to do a lot of, kind of tricky maneuvers. Some of them work, amazingly enough. Like, you can do backflips and you can do column twirls and things like that. And those are actually, you can pull those off pretty well. The problem is it comes to, like, wall jumping or wall running, for example. Like, when you have to, like, kick your way across a wall to reach to, a second platform across a gap. And if you fall down the gap, you're dead. Like, you have to go back to the save point or checkpoint. That was really finicky. because of the virtual analog stick. So I don't necessarily, and complicating that is the fact that the game generally runs slow because it's graphically extraordinarily intense on the iPhone. So those two problems together don't make a really good combination.
Okay, so the message is, if you downloaded Prince of Persia and were disappointed to find that it was buggy, don't bother looking forward to the updated version, because that's rubbish too.
Unless you buy an iPhone 4G, which may do a better job of it.
Yeah.
When it comes out.
Okay, I remember Kick-Ass. That was the other one that came out, and they said, oh, yes. I don't know what happened here. Oh, something's gone wrong technically. It's really weird. Oh, it's weird, isn't it? Oh, it's weird. It's rubbish, isn't it? Yeah. And we'll release another one in a week, and then they did, and it was worse. It was actually worse than the one they said was buggy. That was a shame. That was a real shame. Such a good film too. I think we're going to have to leave it there. So you've talked about what you've been playing. It's not the best gaming experience anyone's ever had. But you know, we've had an insight into Prince of Persia. Alex hasn't played anything, as usual.
No, I've downloaded lots of games though.
Yeah. Okay, well, you can tell us all about that next week. Aside from that, don't forget about the Pocket Gamer Party. Go to the site, or if you like, you can just contact John Jordan directly to ask him about that, or Chris James even. I'm sure he has all the details. Go to pocketgamer.co.uk and you can read all of our stuff. Give us a rating on iTunes, unless you don't like the podcast, which is, let's face it, very likely. And aside from that, it's goodbye from me.
See you later from me.
After you, Alex.
Goodbye.
And also goodbye from the light one.